And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again. I hope that you're having a wonderful day. And I don't care what happened earlier today or what you might be facing in the afternoon. Remember Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. So just keep your mind on the Lord. Remember, he loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. And if you're facing any challenges, and all of us from time to time face challenges, it is part of the human experience. But if you're ever facing a challenge, if it seems daunting, if it seems overwhelming, if it seems, I'm not sure I can handle this, just remember, I always come back to this when it almost seems like you don't know how to believe, you know, or what you need to believe to sort of extricate yourself from a situation or deal with a challenge like what we're facing with the country right now. But you just trust God because, A, you know he loves you. He loves you. You know, God's got a thing for you. You know, from God's perspective, it's as if you're the only person on earth. That's how unfathomably in love with you he is. The Bible says he's numbered every hair on your head. And I say it doesn't say he's counted. It says numbered. And that means he knows hair number 2 from hair number 5,637. For those of us who have that many, I've got significantly fewer than I once had, but nevertheless, God saw it when hair number 4,337 fell out. Okay. So he loves you. I mean, you just have to remember that no matter what things look like, he loves you. And then secondly, remember that he wants to do you good. Well, of course, because he loves you. You know, people have this idea that God wants to break your legs and slam you up against the wall because it's going to make you a better person. He's going to teach you something and all that. I just don't believe that at all. I believe that bad things happen and God does teach us things through them. But I don't think there's nothing that it teaches me from the new covenant that God is engineering bad things against us. The Bible says there's no temptation which befalls us, but such as is common to man. In other words, it's just out here. 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's just, we just live in that kind of environment. It's a sinful, fallen world. Now, some things, of course, we can bring on ourselves, but much of what happens to us is just the nature of life. But God is faithful with the temptation. He'll make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. And that word temptation means not only being tempted to do something wrong, it can imply that, but it also means just trial, trouble, tribulation, whatever comes against you. It's God is faithful. He makes the way of escape. He's not dragging you into trouble. He's dragging you out of trouble. So he wants to help you. And then the third thing I always remember is this. Not only does he want to help me, he has the power to help me. In other words, there's no limit to God's power. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, Jeremiah, the angel, asked that of Abraham. Jeremiah prophetically answered that question when he said, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. So things may be intractable for you. They may be intractable for the doctors. They may be impossible to overcome from a financial perspective based upon what you're facing. Whatever, you may have a family situation that is just unreal. But it's not too hard for God. You know, I've said sometimes life can be like taking a string and tying a bunch of knots in it and then pulling them so tight that you can't even get your fingernail into it. You know what I mean? It's so tight. You just can't loosen it. You just can't. And life can sometimes feel like that, all knotted up. And you try to undo the knot, you can't even get a handle on it. You know, it's just too difficult to grab hold of enough to be able to pull that thing and get that thing unknotted. But it's not too hard for God. It's not too hard for him. He has the power to help you, no matter how bad the situation may seem. And then here's the final thing I remember. He will help me. He will. Now, in a sense, he already has when he sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8, in Romans chapter 8, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not also with him freely give us all things? He really already has. All we're looking for is the manifestation of the love, the power, the desire that he has to help us in that particular situation. And so we have to have faith, we have to have patience, we have to stay in prayer. Just never lose heart, because he loves you. Now, I don't know why I went into all of that, but I'm sure that the Holy Spirit had a reason, and that blesses somebody. Now the second thing I've got to say to you is I owe everybody who's listening yesterday an apology. I gave you some bad information. I said that the president would be convicted because I had forgotten, and yes, it may be his vacation brain. I don't know what it is, but I had forgotten that it takes a two-thirds vote of the Senate to convict the president, not a majority vote, a two-thirds vote. So please forgive me for that mistake. They don't have the votes for a two-thirds vote in the Senate because, of course, they've got 50 votes. 50 votes are Republicans. They need Kamala Harris to break the tie. There's no way in the world they're going to get a sufficient number of Republicans to go along with them to convict President Trump. Now, so please forgive me for that. I apologize for, like I said, I can't explain that because I knew that, the vacation brain, I guess. But I think part of what was driving it too is it doesn't make sense then. It makes even less sense. The man's out of office. They can't convict him. They don't have the votes to convict him. Why are they proceeding? And it really underscores what I said yesterday, which is hate, vengeance, the desire to hurt him, and the desire to send a signal to everybody who supports him. This is what we have in mind for you all. This is how we feel about all you idiots out there who voted for this man, all you wicked, twisted people out there who voted for this man. And this is what we'd like to do to you. And that's why we're seeing the purge. You hear about this firefighter accused of having stormed the Capitol? He was 750 miles away. How they got him, they confused him with somebody else. But this thing is getting ugly. I just saw a young man, I'm going to try to have him on the program, a young man on Newsmax earlier talking about the fact that he went there, exercised his constitutional rights, went peacefully, protested peacefully, listened, and left. And he's gotten all kinds of negative consequences as a result of simply having gone. He engaged in none of the lawlessness. He said, yeah, those people who did have got to be held accountable. But he's being held accountable for simply exercising his constitutional rights. Yeah, this stuff has gotten ugly. And if there was a modicum, if there were a modicum of leadership, of inspiration, of decency, of love of country in Chuck Schumer, in some of these Republicans who've called for this impeachment trial, they would say, this is not good for the nation. Because look, they can impeach him all day long and twice on Sunday, and they're never going to convince me that President Trump incited that violence, and they're never going to convince me that President Trump was not a great president. They're just never going to convince me of that. So I don't know. All they're really doing is convincing me of how wicked and twisted they are. I could have more respect. Maybe they could generate some respect if they simply said, you know what? We didn't agree with the man. We don't like him personally. But, you know, this is not good for the country. And we can't actually convict him. And he's now out of office. Let's move on with an agenda that will help the American people. But that's not what they're interested in. These people, folks, are in their heart of hearts communists. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Americans in general, and even evangelicals in particular, seem confused about important details of their faith. A study by Lifeway Research found that Americans don't know much about theology, and many evangelicals seem confused as well. Tyler O'Neill wrote about the 12 lies American evangelicals believe. Here are just a few of them. Americans generally believe that their personal salvation depends on good works.
The survey found that 3/4 agreed with the statement that people must contribute to their own effort for personal salvation. More than half said that good deeds help them earn a spot in heaven. On the other hand, 60% said Christ's death on the cross is the only sacrifice that could remove the penalty of sin. This statement is closer to what the Bible teaches in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one should boast." Americans seem to believe that everyone goes to heaven. The study even found that almost 2/3 of evangelicals described heaven as a place where all people will ultimately be reunited with their loved ones. Just over half of Americans agreed with the biblical view that only those who trust in Jesus Christ alone receive eternal salvation. Americans also believe that salvation can come through many means. Nearly 2/3 said that God accepts worship of all religions. Nearly half of evangelicals agreed that God accepts all kinds of worship. And this survey correlates with a survey done by Probe Ministries with Bronner Research of born-again millennials. Americans in general, and evangelicals in particular, accept a pluralistic view of salvation. You know, these surveys remind us that churches need to focus even more attention on teaching sound doctrine. And when we're witnessing to non-believers, we need to define our terms and clearly explain the message of salvation. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
Brian Fisher here. Joe Biden refuses to protect the job rights of American graduates. Amazon insists its unionization vote be held in person and not by mail because of fraud. I'll have a catastrophic global warming alert for you. 5 Benedict Arnold Republicans will vote to convict Donald Trump, and more Biden officials go maskless on federal property next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We're back. So, yes, the correct information is that it takes a 2/3 vote of the Senate to convict the president. If it were a majority vote, he'd be in trouble, but that's a constitutionally prescribed standard, so there's nothing they can do to change that. But if he were to be convicted, if he could be convicted by a majority vote, he would be convicted, because I think these 5 senators who voted to go forward with the impeachment trial, Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, Senator Mitt Romney of Utah, Senator Lisa Murkowski of Arkansas, Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska, and Senator Susan Collins of Maine, all fairly well-known leftists, as far as I am concerned, certainly liberals, rhinos, they voted to go forward with the impeachment trial, which gave 45 senators, thank God, on the Republican side, voted to dismiss the thing, but they didn't have it. They didn't have enough. They wouldn't have won even if they all 5 of these had gone along. But that just goes to tell you that if it were majority vote, not only would the president wouldn't lose by a single tie vote, these 5 people would probably vote to convict him. So that means that he would end up with 55 votes against him, still considerably short of the 2/3 necessary. So they've got to have 67 votes, and they're far from that. Before I get to another issue, let me mention something that I have forgotten again and again and again and again and again and again and again to mention. in part because I didn't have anything substantive to say about this. But I began, months ago, to reach out to prisoners, people who are in prison or in jail who are listening to this program. And I know they're all over our listening audience because I get letters from them pretty much every week. And I said, you know, just write to me. I'd love to be in communication with you. And I did that, and the letters really did begin to flood in. I'm serious. They began to flood in. I thought, you know, what what have I done here? And not because I'm not glad to hear from these wonderful folks, and some of them were seeking God and just really asking God to help them and forgive them and deliver them. And God loves them and wants to do great works in their lives. One of my dearest friends is in prison right now for and of course, he, in my view, he shouldn't be in prison. I was hoping President Trump would pardon him. But Phil Zadiotis went to jail for simply helping Lisa Miller to travel from Virginia to New York. And it turned out that she escaped from the country with her child because this crazy Vermont judge was actually ordering her child, her biological child, into the custody of her former lesbian lover. When Lisa got saved, renounced the homosexual lifestyle, left that relationship, and a Vermont judge, who is obviously bent on advancing the homosexual agenda, decided that he didn't like Lisa and didn't like the fact that she thought she could walk away from this so-called gay marriage, and ordered her child into the custody of this homosexual, this lesbian. And Lisa alleged that this woman was a child molester anyway, that she didn't trust her with the health of her child. And so it turned out that Lisa ran away, but Phil didn't do it, and they put him in jail. So, you know, not everybody's in jail because they ought to be. Not everybody's in prison because they ought to be. And then some people are in prison because they ought to be, but they've repented and they've reformed and they really could use a second chance. And that was one of the things that President Trump tried to do, to give people a second chance. People who had reformed or people who had made mistakes when they were young, give them a second chance. So at any rate, I've reached out to all of you listening right now in the various prisons and jails around the country and started to write me, and I have not responded to you. So I just want you to know that is not because I haven't gotten the letters. I have been getting them. Here's the problem. The problem is I am stretched to the limit. So I'm praying that the Lord will send me some help so that I can respond to these many letters that I get. And we're starting to do that in a small way. So some of you look forward to hearing from me. But I just want you to know, I take seriously God's love for you and my desire to minister to you. So I don't want you to think that I've just ignored you and forgotten about you. I've just been struggling with, Lord, what am I going to do here? Because, listen, please don't misunderstand me. I am not whining at all, okay, about my schedule, but it is jam-packed, I can tell you. My wife and I often laugh about it. There is really never a moment that I don't have something to do. Now, I just make time. I just went on vacation because I realized I just had to make time to rest. I just had to. But there's never a moment when I don't have something to do. I mean, I do this radio program. I pastor a church. I run an organization called Staying True to America's National Destiny, which is a full-time occupation. I speak around the country. I'm still doing that. In fact, I'm headed to Oklahoma on Thursday for speaking engagement out there on Friday at the Real Church. And any of you listening that are in the area in any of the surrounding states, feel free to come on by. I'll be there Friday night at 7 o'clock at the Real Church. And in fact, I'll give you the address. Let's see. What is Friday night? Friday night is, what is Friday night? No, it's not the first. Well, yeah, no, it's no, Friday night's not the first. Let me get my calendar working here. Where are we here? What is the, my goodness gracious. Okay, now that's December, and we're in January. Okay, Friday, I've got it. Friday is the 29th. There we go. Oh, my goodness. I'll be speaking there on Friday night at the Real Church, 315 South Sheridan Road, Tulsa, Oklahoma. So, with wonderful Pastor Scott, Pastor Scott Lovett is a wonderful pastor, invited me out to come and be part of a great revival he's hosting out there. But my point is, and then I've got to fly back, and then I preach at my own church on Sunday, and then I'm up on Monday, and I'm right back at it. So it never ends for me, and it's been beyond my bandwidth, frankly. But we're working on it. We are working on it. I've got a wonderful pastor working with me, and he's going to start trying to take some of that slack up and respond to these letters. But we're also looking for somebody who can sort of make that a primary task. But in the meantime, I just wanted to say that because I want you all, those of you who are in prison, to know I have not forgotten you. I love you. I'm praying for you. I believe God still has a great plan for your life. And just trust God. You know, your life can be meaningful even in prison. It really can. It really can. Just let God use you and watch him work in your behalf. One of the greatest miracles of the Bible happened when Paul and Silas were in prison, down in the dungeon, singing and praising God. And the prison doors flew open. And the prison jailer was about to kill himself. It was down in Philippi. About to kill himself. And Paul, you know, it was pitch black in there. It was in the middle of the night. Paul could not have seen him with his physical eyes. He saw him in the spirit and said, "Don't do it. Don't hurt yourself. We're not leaving." And you know, that's an amazing thing. Nobody escaped in the whole prison, and all the doors were open. And that was the beginning of the Philippian church. And Paul got this man saved and got his family saved. So at any rate, God bless each and every one of you. So I just want you to know I've not forgotten you. So please don't be impatient with me. It's just that I've got to work out how I begin to correspond with you all and interact with you all. But I'm glad. I hope you still listen to the program and know that I'm thinking of you. And I've been reluctant to say anything because I knew I didn't really have much to say because I didn't have a solution to the problem of trying to respond to all of these letters that I get from prisoners around the country. All right, let's see, what else? I think that's it for that little bit of business, but the thing that I have uppermost in my mind right now is, having corrected myself about this, the standard for conviction, I'm even more puzzled. And I want you all to know, as we begin to take calls, I want you all to tell me what you think. Why do you think they're doing this? They don't have the votes to do it. I mean, what are they? I mean, do you agree with me that it's just vengeance and hatred and just a desire to harm him? I guess maybe they're hoping that they'll destroy his business and destroy his life outside of office, even if this has absolutely no legal effect. There's nothing for which to convict him. He did not incite any riot. He did not incite any attack, as this guy at CNN has accused him accused him of inciting an attack or an insert. Oh, a terrorist attack on the Capitol. Yes, that's the way he put it. Accused Jake Tapper, accused President Trump of inciting a terrorist attack on the Capitol. These people are a piece of work, I tell you. Well, Joe Biden, having denounced the use of executive orders, has now exercised more executive orders in the first few days of his administration than any other president in history. Yeah, the one who denounced executive orders and said, "Well, we can't do things by executive order because we're a democracy." Somebody ought to give him a civics lesson and tell him that we are a constitutional republic. Oh, it irritates me when I hear these, particularly these leftists, say that, because I know there's a hidden agenda there. What they really mean is we're a mobocracy. We're a mobocracy. As long as we can keep the mob in tow, we can do whatever we want to do. We are a constitutional republic. You can't do whatever you want to do because you are constrained by the Constitution, which gives government limited and delegated powers from the people. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. The words of Jesus. Somewhere I ran across the story of a man who visited a certain home. The home wasn't much to look at, kind of run down, lacking even a good coat of paint. Outside the home in the yard, a little boy and his sister were playing. They were laughing, running, having a good time. The man surveyed the situation, summed up that the family wasn't very well off. He asked the small boy some questions about the home and family. The little boy told him that his father had not been able to work lately because of illness and that his mother had to care for the father. When asked about his patched clothes and his bare feet, the youngster explained that he had not had any new clothes since his daddy got sick. After a long period of conversation, the visiting gentleman found out that the little boy and his sister had not been to a movie or to get a cone of ice cream or any of the normal accepted childhood pleasures for several months. Wanting to say something to help the boy and his little sister face the difficult situation, the man spoke, and this is what he said. "It must be awful to be poor." Well, quick as a flash, the youngster answered back, "Mister, we ain't poor. We just ain't got no money." Now, how true, how eternally true. He was happy. He loved his sister. His parents loved him. He knew why his family was in the shape it was in financially, and he didn't complain. Money could not have bought what he had. How very shallow our judgments go sometimes. How very misplaced our values of riches. We think the only rich people are the people who have money. How miserable life would be if we had to face it on that basis, being poor if we had no money. We've made a terrible mistake here, and we have passed it on to our children. That mistake is thinking that a person has to have a bankroll in order to be rich. What a poor, pitiful basis from which to judge richness. No man is poor who has character and purpose, whose life has been touched by the Galilean carpenter, who has love of God and love of fellow man. Every man is poor who lacks those things, regardless of his bank account. Whoever uplifts civilization, though he die penniless, is rich, and future generations will erect a living monument to him in deeds. A great bank account can never make a man rich, and often hides real richness from him. A man is rich or poor according to what he is, not according to what he has. We are important because we are God's children, not because of position or power or money. No man is rich who has a poor heart. One of the first great lessons of life is to learn the true estimate of values. How poor are those whose major goal is a growing bank account? A rich mind and a noble spirit will cast over the humblest person a radiance of beauty which most millionaires will never know. So don't pity the person who's lacking money. Pity only the person who is lacking in character and purpose, who rejects the Galilean and has no love for his fellow man. For they are the poor ones, but those who are the opposite are rich far beyond the expression and means of mortal money.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We're coming to your calls in a minute, 888, or in a few minutes at least, during this segment, 888-589-8840 is the number. That's 888-589-8840. Just let me hit a couple of things and a few things on highlight. Big riots in Tacoma, Washington over the last couple of days. Property burned. Police cars attacked. They caught two people climbing up on a roof with weapons, as if they were planning to shoot down into the crowd or shoot at police. They were arrested. Police officer escaping hit somebody trying to escape because he was afraid the crowd was going to turn his car over or attack him, pull him out of the car and attack him. He drove through the crowd and ended up hitting someone. Fire set. Just mayhem. Oh, and they tried to tear the gates off the jail, chanting, "Free them all, free them all, free them all." But do you notice something? Have you heard anybody talk about insurrection? Oh, no. No, that was an insurrection. No. In fact, remember what Joe Biden said about Antifa? They're just an idea. So that's the double standard that we are facing right now. Suddenly, you know, what happened at the Capitol was wrong. I denounce it just like I denounce what's happening in Tacoma, Washington right now. But suddenly it was the end of democracy as we know it. And this stuff that they've pulled all over the country, these have been peaceful protests that have gotten out of hand or few people took advantage of. And all the people who came and peacefully listened to the president last Wednesday, those people are being blacklisted. They are being vilified. They're being called terrorists. And yet these folks doing all this stuff, remember we were told when people were accosting folks in restaurants and banging on the doors of their houses that we should not call them a mob. Oh, we're not going. I would hear the mainstream. No, we're not going there. This is not a mob. We're not going to call them a mob. But suddenly the people who basically attacked the Capitol, a relatively small group of folks. I mean, we're 330 million people, folks, in this. I mean, it was a relatively small group of folks arrested, most of them swept out of there, back to business as usual after a few hours, and yet this was the end of democracy. Now that democracy has been restored. I mean, give me a break. Biden and his Democrat supporters are planning to do away with the Hyde Amendment, and I don't want to get too much into that, folks, because it just makes me angry to think about it. It really does. It's not enough that they've got blood on their own hands. They want blood on the hands of every American. As you all know, the Hyde Amendment is what is supposed to prohibit the use of federal funds to perform abortions. Well, we know Planned Parenthood has been playing games with that for a long time, but at least it's there in place so that you can't explicitly and openly take that federal money and then use it to kill unborn children. Well, they want to do away with that so that all of us taxpayers, can share in the bloodletting. And that just, it just makes me angry to even think about it, that they don't have the integrity to say, well, you know what? We know that it's a questionable practice, and we know that there are a lot of people with moral objections. Let's not make the entire American people feel that they are complicit in what we're doing. But no. But they're saying, too bad. You're too stupid to see how good this is and how important this is. You want to interfere with women's reproductive rights, so we're going to smear you with it. They're going to give money to San Francisco for housing. Yeah, right. If you believe that, I got a bridge in New York I'd like to sell to you. it's in Brooklyn, okay? It's in my name. Send me a few million bucks, and I'll be happy to send you the title deed. If you believe that they're going to give, but I think it's about $1.2 billion, but they're going to give to San Francisco for housing, to help house the homeless. Yeah, right. The only reason why there's so many homeless is that they're not building new housing stock out there. And so the housing is shorted. There's a housing shortage. And the average home, I understand, in San Francisco is about $1.2 million. So they need to just change what they're doing. They don't need more of our federal tax dollars to deal with that problem. This is not going to go to solve that problem anyway. So and by the way, the Keystone Pipeline has been halted. And so 11,000 jobs are now lost. Those 11,000 people, those are real people with real families, real mortgage payments, real car notes, real responsibilities. And they're now being told, you must be sacrificed at the altar of planetary salvation. After all, we're saving the planet. We don't have time to concern ourselves with 11,000 families. So apparently the new motto, President Trump's motto, was make America great again. The new motto is make America mediocre again, because that's what it was during the Obama administration, mediocre. Let's go to your calls. I want to hear what you all are thinking about all this. 888-589-8840. Let's go to Jane in Mississippi. Jane, welcome.
Well, thank you, Bishop. I do appreciate it. I listen to you every chance I get. I can't always listen to you every day, but I do my best.
Well, thank you, Jane.
The thing I basically wanted to talk about was this so-called impeachment. Number one, former President Trump. He's not the president. You can't impeach a private citizen. Number two, I think the only reason they're doing that, other than they hate President Trump, is to keep us interested in that so we aren't watching what other things they are doing.
Hmm. Now, you know, Jane, I hadn't thought about that, but that's an interesting point because they do like to play the bait and switch game. Look at this shiny object over here so that you don't see the nefarious, wicked, twisted stuff that they're doing over somewhere else. So, yeah, you might have a point there. It might be a nice little deflection, particularly for us conservatives who are watching it and thinking, what in the world are they doing? So, Jane, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. God bless you. Let's go to Haywood, also in Mississippi. Haywood, welcome.
Well, thank you, Bishop, for taking my call. From one old soldier to another, we all know the same tactics that lady just discussed. Create a diversion to get the mind off the real enemy. She nailed that one. Okay, she pretty much took care of the impeachment. I was going to say very much the same thing. But on the abortion issue, the Hyde Amendment and the Mexico City, they rescinded the Mexico City doctrine. And I just want to let every American pastor that calls himself an evangelical to remember, until we stop killing the innocent in the mother's womb, we're not going to have major revival. You may have localized, but if we continue to let babies be murdered in the mother's womb, God won't bless us. He didn't bless his own people, Israel, when they did it. Do we think we're going to slide? And I'll take your comments out there. Thank you.
Wow. Well, thank you, Haywood. And, you know, Haywood, I'll tell you something. I think there's something very powerful in what you're saying. I would only add this little addendum. If the church continues to allow itself to be complicit in this by with these cowardly pastors, I don't want to get into that. That's politics. And not being willing to stand up for the most innocent among us. These babies have done nothing to anyone. They are completely innocent. And to turn a blind eye and simply call it politics without realizing it is the most significant moral issue of our time. And to me, if the church would stand up, God would have a reason to cheer and a reason to bless us. See, I don't think it takes a majority. I think it just takes a remnant. And if the church would ever find its voice on that issue, you know, if the church would unite around that issue, you know, regardless of skin color or national origin, if Christians would just unite around that issue and say, look, we're not supporting any government official, any elected official who thinks that it's okay to kill unborn babies. We're not doing that. You're right. There would be that in itself would precipitate an awakening. I believe that. I think that the whole country would sit up and go, whoa, wow. Huh. And maybe this is an issue we ought to pay attention to. You know, it was the voice of Christians. You know, the racial ideology, folks, was a response to Christians objecting to the sin of slavery. But the whole country has awakened. I mean, it took a horrible civil war, but the whole country awakened to the evil of trying to own human beings. I don't know what it's going to take for the whole country to awaken to the evil of killing unborn human beings.
You can tell it's getting close to Easter when you start seeing Cadbury's cream eggs everywhere, but your taste buds may get turned off by their latest promotional idea. In a commercial called Cream Egg Golden Goobalee, different ways to eat a Cadbury cream egg are shown, including two grown men sharing one of the eggs in a highly offensive way for kids or adults. Sign the pledge to let Cadbury know you won't support their immorality with your money. Just go to AFA.net. That's AFA.net.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years and lived as a man. When Laura came home, we were all ecstatic. And so I just woke up one night and it just kind of laid on my heart. We need to start a specific basket with names of prodigals in it that we will pray over.
Learn more or submit a prayer request at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
Because we all have someone.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
And in eighth grade, I ran into Heinrich Kapka. Heinrich was my eighth grade math teacher, and he'd been a missionary.
Guy Dowd on Focus on the Family Minute.
Dynamic Christian man. And Mr. Kapka led me to the Lord Jesus Christ in a real way. And Mr. Kapka later taught me a little poem. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather you walk with me than merely point the way. The eye is a more ready pupil than ever was the ear. Good advice is often confusing, but example is always clear.
Hear more from Guy at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Yeah, famous words from President Joe Biden, then Vice President. You can't legislate by executive order. That's a dictator. And now he is setting the record for executive orders in the first few days of his administration. You know, I always attribute this to Chris Plant because I don't want to plagiarize the man, but this is my understanding that he was the one who coined this. If Democrats didn't have double standards, they'd have no standards at all. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's come back to your calls. Let's go to John, also in Mississippi. John, welcome.
Yes. This is John speaking. Good to talk with you, Bishop Jackson.
Thank you, John. Good
you
to
raised
talk
the
to
question
you.
That about the impeachment trial, that they it looks like they don't not going to have the votes to convict, then why are they going through it? I've got the answer, and the answer is hate, 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 hate. And it's so sad. I mean, we all know that they've been criticizing after President Trump, even before he got inaugurated. And that's so sad. And even the media has gotten into the thing. And I won't quote one station, but the daily news forecast, they're constantly showing the attack on the Capitol. And that was wrong. That was wrong. But it's they just want the citizens who watch TV to see all of these examples, and they go away with hate. And it's so sad. And thank
all
you
right,
for letting
well, John,
me share.
Thank you so much, John. I appreciate it. And, you know, during the time that we were having, and we're apparently still having, riots across the country, you never heard one liberal say, I denounce this, this is lawless, this is inappropriate. In fact, Comrade Kamala Harris said, Black Lives Matter is brilliant. And they were precipitating, they precipitated 570 riots across the country. How is that brilliant? And you never heard insurrection, you never heard revolution, you never heard this is terrible, we've got to do something about it. In fact, every time there was discussion of sending National Guard troops, the president was denounced. We don't need to send National Guard troops. Down with the police. Down with the National Guard. Now, all of a sudden, this what happened at the Capitol is it's the end of democracy as we know it. It's, yeah, but I think you're right. I think you're right, John. I think that, for me, that is the primary motive. But, you know, they better read the scripture. You reap what you sow. Thank you for the call, John. Let's go to Susan in Virginia, one of my fellow Virginians. Welcome to the Awakening, Susan. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Bishop, and thank you for having me, and thank you for your message. There's a challenge for everyone about the impeachment. God's word says whatever's done in the dark shall come to light. Now, I'm convinced that Nancy Pelosi is behind this, Capitol Police doing what they did, and Chuck Schumer is involved. I'm also convinced that the DOC and all of them knew, and Antifa, and I'm praying that if President Trump has to be there, number one, he keeps his calm, but number two, that God allows his enemies to become his footstools, that pit the dug for him, that they themselves fall into it, and the truth will be known. They didn't want to have courts handling too far. I'm praying that all of that will come out, because God cannot lie, and whatever they have sown, they're going to reap, and we're going to stand on his promises. We know we have the victory, but President Trump might be like a Gideon or David, and having to go against Goliath. So we just continue to pray. We know they don't have a case, but God has a way of still bringing the truth to light.
Amen. You are so right, Susan. Amen. God has a way of turning curses into blessings. And look, I don't know who or how this was all engineered, but I want to underscore this, Susan, because you said it. What is done in darkness will come to the light. That's what Jesus said. It will come to the light. And you know, we don't pray for the destruction of these people. We don't pray for them to die or be harmed or anything like that. We don't want any violence committed. I don't even want these people to get sick or anything like that. But I'll tell you what I do pray. I pray for confusion in their ranks. I pray for the truth to come out in spite of them. I mean, he just brought Susan Rice back as his domestic advisor. She's one of the biggest liars that ever stepped into Washington, D.C. I mean, she lied the whole time about the Benghazi situation. I mean, just lied through her teeth and knew it was a lie. They all knew it was a lie. So, yes, we are lovers of truth. And Lord, may the truth come out, and may it come out in a bold and undeniable way, that the American people who are wondering and are trying to be fair and trying to be neutral will see, I can't be on the side of lies and manipulations and attempts to lead the American people off the cliff. Because in my view, that's exactly where they're trying to lead us. From make America great again to make America mediocre again, which is what we had during the Obama administration, by the way, 1% growth. And he brags about how great the economy was, please. With President Trump, within about 90 days of his coming into office, less than that, the stock market took off and the economy almost immediately began to climb. And we told manufacturing, what's he going to do, wave a magic wand to make manufacturing come back? Now they're talking about bringing manufacturing back. Whose idea was that? Who led the way on that? President Trump. All right. Thank you for the call, Susan. Let's go to Josh in Arkansas. Josh, welcome.
Yes. Good afternoon, my friend and brother in Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Josh.
Yes, I was going to, I was kind of thinking the same thing on that the smoke and mirrors of the devil is that it's a distraction. I think maybe one thing that, you know, they got to have something big in the propaganda news to be able to really get everybody, get their attention focused over there. But, you know, things like the woman from Florida submitting the federal security clearance bill of 2021 last couple of days, and I dare to say if that doesn't affect the background checks on firearms. But you know, one thing also too, Bishop, is they've told us several of the things that they're going to do and have done, and they even said, you know, they were going to storm the Capitol months ago, and they did that. And you know, also, too, they said they were going to make a database to take note of who all were the supporters. And also, too, they just even on this whole thing with to defund the police, and you know they want to cut spending with the military. Well, they now they want to stand behind the military. Well, I think in a way they're letting them know that they can, same way like they told the American people that supported Trump, they cut their livelihood off and they hold the purse strings, and they want us to believe that we need them. But actually, the truth is that they need us. We're the American taxpayers, and our vote counts. Another thing is we need to boycott those that support this garbage. You can't change the platform. You know, if enough people quit Facebook or quit Amazon, or you know, then things will change.
All right, Josh. Listen, you make some good points. Thank you for the call. Although I still think that Facebook and these other platforms have become so wealthy. I mean, these are trillion-dollar companies now that they just need to be broken up, because Bill Gates, with all of his wealth, tried to start, what was it, Bing? And you know what? How much of the research market he ended up, after spending billions of dollars, how much of the research market, the search engine market, he ended up with? 3%. Google's got the other 97%. I mean, they've become so gargantuan. Like I said, it's a case of the first impression. All right, let's try to get the rest of you in here. Let's go to Todd in Louisiana. Todd, welcome.
Hello. I wanted to bring up a point you just barely touched on about the Constitutional Republic.
Right.
I hate how much that has been pervaded even into conservative circles. Everybody calls it a democracy, and that just really annoys me.
me too.
Love your show. And I'll let you answer.
Thank you, Todd. Well, listen, Todd, me too. It annoys me too. Let's go to Brett in Mississippi. Brett, welcome. You're our last caller, Brett. Take it away.
Yes, sir. Bishop, thank you for taking my call, and I really value your efforts, and I trust your brilliance. So I got a couple of questions and a couple of statements. Question number one: was not the National Guard created to protect the people from the government, but they're using them to protect the government from the people? It's a misuse of power. And a statement I have is this whole deal about the transgender movement going into our schools. And, you know, homeschooling is a great thing, but that's not the answer. The answer is to stand up and tell them, no, we pay them to work for us. There's no such thing as government money. That's our money. And it's a misuse of power again. They're taking our funds and funding their little arguments among themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's hideous impeachment process. It's not only a waste of time, it's a waste of money. Our money. It could be used on so much more than sending it to foreign countries. And my final question, are the people of Washington accountable to anybody? So far, not the law or the Constitution, or the courts have abided by the laws that have been in place over 200 years.
That's going to do it, Brett. But listen, you ended the program for me quite well, and I appreciate that. Well, look, I'll tell you one thing. I'm not sure about the motivation behind the creation of the National Guard, but I do know one thing. The founding fathers were always very skeptical about standing armies. That's why we had such a hard time, part of why we had a hard time getting the Constitution passed, because the idea of standing armies being abused by the people in power was something that concerned them. So your point is well taken. Look, the whole government is supposed to be serving us, not vice versa. Well, that's going to do it for today, folks. Thank you so much for all of your support and listening. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.